is Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back, and you brought us a rock star.
A literal rock star.
Punk star.
You know, Trevor, last year you encouraged people to give us 1.5, 2, 3 minute My Cannabis stories.
Yeah, you got one from a kind of a famous person.
We did, and it is a 45-minute conversation with Ms. Biff Naked.
And for those who don't know, we'll start right now. We mentioned it many, many times. She's from Dauphin. We own her.
Yeah. Well, she spent her formative years in Dauphin, and she spoke very favorably of our community. And you're going to have to listen to the episode. Now, let's introduce Biff Naked. She was born in India.
Okay. Right?
She spent some time in Kentucky, and she spent time in the Paw, and she spent time in Dauphin.
Best time of her life.
Yes, her influences were in Dauphin. And also she spent time in Winnipeg, got her university education in Winnipeg, became a rock star to the point that she holds with her song "I Love Myself Today," which we showcased in our Boss Ladies episode.
Yes.
That song is 88 in the top 150 Canadian airplayed songs. She also is labeled as 104 out of the top 150 of the best-selling Canadian artists. So she is...
A legit boss lady of rock.
Of rock and punk, yeah. So she talked to us. It was a wonderful, wonderful interview. I really enjoyed it, and I think you could hear me in the interview.
We're a little bit of fanboys during the interview.
Yeah, a little bit of it. What song were you singing today?
all morning through my head, it's "I'm Just a Girl," which, you know, it's an odd thing for a 40-something-year-old pharmacist, but, you know.
Can you hum it?
Very badly. "I'm Just a Girl in the World, and that's all that I'll ever be."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're in touch with your sexuality.
Something.
Okay, you know what? Let's get into it. Let's get into this My Cannabis story of Biff Naked. Thank you again, Biff, for this. Let's enjoy this interview.
Good afternoon. My name is Biff Naked, and I am a recording artist and Renaissance woman.
Oh, you don't hear that word. I consider myself a Renaissance man. I don't hear Renaissance.
Fantastic.
Very
fantastic.
Cool. So you've been in the music industry now, what? It's got to be... Like, I don't want to out you, but 25 years?
Oh, longer than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And it's a good, so I, my very first performance professionally was 1989.
Wow.
And my first tour was 1990. And I've never looked back. I left university in my first year at the University of Winnipeg. And I had every intention of going back to my theater school. I was in theater and also musical theater. And I didn't intend to be a vocalist. I really thought I was going to be in comedy or something along those lines, I suppose. And it was just a good fit. And, of course, you know, back in the day, punk rock, I didn't actually have to have any training to sing.
Right. Right. Well, you started the year my first son was born, so that's how old I am.
Fantastic.
Your music is very autobiographical, that's the word. Your
it
music
is.
Yeah, so like I've been all things Biff for the last 2 weeks since you agreed to this interview. So Choti, Love Myself Today, which we showcased in one of our podcasts, by the way.
Very cool.
Everything, cool. The whole album, The Promise. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you personalize your music?
Well, I guess, you know, the things that inspire my writing are just kind of stuff from my lived experience. I mean, you know, from time to time, I'm going to write a song that's going to be all from my imagination. Like, you know, Sophia was about a little dog, and there was a song called Honeybee, which was about me being in prison and being haunted by a bee that I had swatted, you know, kind of thing. But mostly it's all stuff that I've kind of lived through, and everyone can relate to it. We love, we are heartbroken, we feel vengeful, you know, all the same emotions, I guess, all the time permeate our life story.
And we were saying before we started the interview that I moved to Dauphin about 20 years ago. My wife and I are very involved with the art scene. I was on your wiki page. I've been researching you the last 2 weeks, and it's interesting, your Dauphin connection, when you glance on it, comes up the Watson Art Center. Do you remember the Watson Art Center?
Oh, how interesting. That's so funny. Yeah. Well, with Dawson, you know, I moved there from Kentucky when I was entering junior high and went to McKenzie Junior High for my entire middle school career. I'm very proud of it. I came of age really in Dawson, and I still have dear friends that I know from those days. And, you know, thanks to, in part to Facebook, of course, nowadays we can all keep in touch and check up on each other. But, you know, it's very serendipitous, the memories that I have of Dawson, and particularly the first concert I saw, I think, was at the Dawson Arena.
Okay.
I saw a band called the Straw Dogs.
Okay.
And I think that they were actually like a side project of the guys from the Queen City Kids or something like that. I can't really remember. But I definitely had my first beer while watching a Dawson Kings game.
Oh, so is it safe to say that maybe your start in the music industry started in the artful town of Dawson?
Oh, yes, indeed. You know, I discovered that I loved theater and I loved taking drama class. And in Dawson, I was also very, very proud to be involved in Reader's Theater through the school, and also spoken poetry, French spoken poetry, and all of the variety of arts competitions that they had.
Well, that's very cool. I think you'll be impressed with some of the renovations that they've done at the Watson Arts Center. Maybe we can entice you to come by and do some spoken word for us or a concert.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, I'll gladly host it. So let's plan it after we get off air. We'll plan a Biff Naked concert, and Trevor and I'll host it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That would be fantastic.
Well, thank you for the kind words. We both, Trevor and I, like living in Dawson. We think this podcast kind of promotes it a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about you and your experiences. Now, again, a brief overview of your life story. You've had some hardships in your life and some very public health problems. Would you like to speak to some of that?
Oh, sure. You know, I don't think that my story is any different from anybody else's story. And certainly in Dawson, I'm not the only girl from my junior high to experience breast cancer. But what I was young when I was diagnosed. I was only 36 years old. And at that time, there was no Instagram. You know, it was kind of rare for anybody to really talk about it too much or blog about it or have a Facebook page. And so it was, I guess, in a way, a novelty for a lot of people because I had an image of being very healthy and very active. We played 265 shows a year, probably for, I'm going to say, like 18 years. And for me to be diagnosed was a bit of a shock to everyone. And, of course, truthfully, I think people really thought I was going to croak. You know, people are very afraid of cancer, especially 10 years ago. You know, women particularly were petrified of breast cancer. I think now it's a little different. Now it can be, the survival rates are improving. It can be managed a little bit more easily. You know, oncology has come a long way, as it does every year. And they can, you know, kind of cater a bit to each patient, specifically to her needs with breast cancer. And so for me, I had just gotten married at the time that I was diagnosed, and it definitely played a big role in the deterioration of my marriage, I would say. And I think that a lot of people can relate to that because, you know, the things that do help our families bond or fall apart are usually crisis. And definitely it's a health crisis when you have a cancer diagnosis in the family. And I learned a lot. I learned so much, discovered I was a science geek, discovered that I liked the hospital setting and was comfortable. I started volunteering as a medical chaperone when I was still in chemo for some of the chemo patients I met that were not comfortable seeing their doctor or having some of the variety of treatments or even screening. And then, you know, again, quite by accident, kind of fell into palliative care volunteering and realized that it was my calling. I mean, who knew? You know, you kind of don't know until you're in it. And I've been doing it ever since. So in a way, I'm really grateful that I was diagnosed and that I did go through my own surgery and treatment and radiation so that I can better speak to it when I am volunteering and I can be a better volunteer, really.
Oh, that's fantastic, Briv. I love hearing that. I'm a proponent of volunteering and giving back to community. I think it offers a better balance to your life.
I love it. Like, honestly, if I could choose only one job to do, it would definitely be just doing the medical chaperoning and yeah. volunteering.
Let's move on a little bit to your relationship with cannabis. With the hardships that you've talked about, is there any correlation to your relationship with cannabis?
Oh, definitely. You know, a lot of people know I was became a straight edge when I was in my mid-20s. And prior to that, and I can thank Dauphin, you know, I was kind of a normal prairie girl in a way. And, you know, drank beer like anybody else. And I didn't have a lot of experience with cannabis, but of course was happily introduced to it in Dauphin, I will tell you that. So I went through my adult life being a straight edge person, meaning I didn't participate in drug use or alcohol. And that was primarily because I was on tour and we did so many shows and had to, I had to function on very little sleep for decades. And I was never very good at drinking beer. I was the girl that got drunk on a tablespoon, so I would essentially talk too much and lose my voice, so it had to leave my life. But as far as cannabis goes, and particularly when I was in chemotherapy and in cancer care, a lot of the girls who I was in the chemo wards with were also supplementing with either cannabis or CBD oils with and without THC in them. And it was remarkable how supported they felt with these products in their lives and how supported their treatment was because of it. So that really was my introduction into it. And, you know, over the years, as it grew in popularity, obviously, you know, that was always it's on everyone's radar, really. And if you're in fitness or in health and nutrition, you know, everyone started taking coconut oil 1 year, and the next year we're all on turmeric. And, you know, so kind of being up on the trends was something that came naturally to me. And then the opportunity came for me to really explore how we can kind of promote and find a product, make a product that is isolate, that is non-THC, because a lot of the patients were basically afraid of it. You know, a lot of people are still afraid of THC. And as our population is aging, more and more people need and can benefit from CBD oils. So
that
know,
was
emphasizing the non-THC is important for us.
So that was back in 2008. You were diagnosed with breast cancer. Is that when you got into volunteerism? And the reason why I'm asking is that that's the early days of legal medicinal cannabis. So the people, the people that you were working with in those days, were they using cannabis medicinally legally, or were they using it medicinally without the doctors knowing? And I'm asking because
I'm sure both, to be honest with you. And the same is true today, as many people know. And a lot of people do appreciate so much the Canadian government really making just massive strides for everyone. But at the same time, there are people who really bemoan the products that are available and the process and the cost. And, you know, the black market is thriving. Of course it is. It always will be. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's very, very complicated, you know, to legalize this incredible plant. You know, it's complicated and it's not going to be perfect. They're going to stumble. of course, to try and get it right. And in the meantime, people are still going to utilize the black market.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you say that. When we first started this podcast, I shared with Trevor that I had a very dear friend of mine in the early aughts. No, was it the aughts? It was 2003, 2005. He was from Alberta on cancer treatment, experiential cancer treatment, and he was self-medicating with cannabis. And I would visit him and I'd say, well, are you talking to your doctors about this? I mean, you're on an experimental routine here with your medicine. You need to tell them that you're using cannabis. And his comment back to me was, well, if they need to know, they'll ask. And so I'm wondering, this is why I'm sort of hovering around 2008. Were you in that experience? Because cannabis has certainly changed, and we're going to get into your business in a couple minutes. But have you noticed the change from those days that patients were very reluctant to tell their doctors about the cannabis use?
Oh, 100%. 100%. You nailed it. And not only that, the doctors didn't know anything about it, like nothing. And that's still true today with a lot of GPs. You know, oncology, perhaps it's different in some of the very specialized arms of medicine where they are dealing with chronic pain and patients who do have chronic pain management issues. And yes, absolutely. In the cancer community, it has been widely utilized for a long time, with and without doctors' knowledge and with and without doctors' approval. And I don't think that's necessarily going to change, although now it's legal. So it's easier in many ways for a patient to find out information. But of course, you know, as you know, the internet is always trumps everybody. You know, it's right there at your fingertips. And so people can find what they're looking for whenever they want to, wherever they are.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But again, a lot of people who are going through different programs across the country in Manitoba and everywhere in Canada, you know, they want to follow their doctor's orders and they want to follow their correct treatment protocols because they want the best outcome. And most people who are, you know, really following that regimen to the letter want to go the legal routes and they want to go to the doctor to obtain cannabis.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, I think the times are changing. And one of the themes of our podcast is we truly ask people that listen, if you are using cannabis as medicine, please inform your medical practitioner, your nurse, your doctor, whoever you go to, your massage therapist for that matter, let them know you're using cannabis. This is a wonderful segue to your relationship to cannabis. So you obviously are no longer a recreational user of cannabis, correct? You are now a medicinal user of cannabis?
Well, honestly, I don't think I've used cannabis since I was in the 10th grade.
Oh, okay.
You know, so for me, and utilizing cannabidiol oils, I only really started personally utilizing the CBD oil and when I was confident that it was an isolate, when I was confident about the carrier oil. You know, like anything, it can be so many different things. There's nobody really validating the claims that any company on the internet is able to make. So for me, even though I have not personally, you know, smoked a joint or, you know, rolled a blunt in a number of years, everyone around me does. And not only that, I think it was important for me to always speak up about legalization and that I, you know, was very much in favor of it and promoted it, you know, and I still do and I still will. So even though I can sit here and go, I'm not in the pot business, you know, I'm in the hemp business. I'm not in the getting high business. I'm in the getting healed business. You know, for me, it's really that that black and white. But for everyone I work with, and also within the Mona Lisa Healing Company, I mean, you know, it's a wide range. It's a variety of different people in different age groups that use cannabis differently.
Okay, then again, wonderful segue. You've done this before, I guess. You've been interviewed before. You're giving me some wonderful leading questions.
Oh, good.
And answers.
I'm so happy.
But here, I'm going to break here just for a second. I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I've been talking to people that we're going to have this interview, and one of the people that I'm a fan of, and we've interviewed her, and that's Dr. Shelley Turner. You will find her as one of our podcasts. She's under Healing Communities Part 2. She is a huge fan of yours. And she said to me, you make sure you tell her, Kirk, that she's one of those early risers, and she's one of the first Twitter feeds I go to in the morning.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So one of the people I'm a fan of who listens to us is a fan of yours. So I needed
very
to say
nice.
That before I forgot. But
very kind of you to tell me.
So let's move on to Mona Lisa. Now, this is how we discovered you, outside your music, of course, and you being an ex-Dauphinite, but from the cannabis business. Let's talk about Mona Lisa. What is your relationship with Mona Lisa Healing?
I am one of the people that is behind the brand. So basically, Mona Lisa is a business that I wanted to be involved in, really because I was so impressed with what they were doing and the integrity that they were doing it with. So again, it's like, you know, what, on one hand with Canada, the industry is exploding. It's exploding, you know, but people are getting, blindsided. Like if you're a chemo patient who is 75 years old, you don't know where to go. You just Google it. You want edibles, or you want somebody to send you 5 joints, or you know, if you are not comfortable leaving your home and going down to your local government store, for example, and say you don't have a dealer, say you don't even know anybody, you can order it off the internet. You know, whether it's legal or not, you can still get it, and you don't know what you're getting. And you can be getting, you know, anything in the whole world. You know, people can be getting CBD oil for their pet, for example. There's lots of websites that have pet CBD, but you don't know the carrier oil. They can tell you what it is, but do you really know? You know, is it tested? Is it verified? And this was the thing that really bothered me about it, because I hate seeing people get taken advantage of.
So,
particularly in cancer care, that type of tomfoolery is rampant. Really, it is. And I saw it firsthand.
What is the business? This is a hemp oil business that you're a spokesperson for and endorsing, Mona Lisa Healing?
Yes. Yeah, so Mona Lisa Healing is in the healing business. So basically what it is a CBD hemp-based organic hemp from BC. It's isolate. So there's lots of different cannabidiol oils. There's broad spectrum, and there's blends, and there's isolate. And our oil that we use is MCT coconut oil, which is really pure vegan, you know, easy to digest, very bioavailable stuff. A lot of different brands use grapeseed oil, or these other things, which are, you know, fantastic, I'm sure. But they're not necessarily great for pets, and some people have allergies and whatnot. This just seemed to be the best route I found, anyway, in my own small experience in the world. And my friends were already developing it. And once I started seeing the difference, my sister started taking this CBD oil. Now, my sister does not, she's a single mom. She works full-time in Winnipeg, but she has, you know, knee problems. She's in her 40s and started taking the CBD oil as a tincture under her tongue. And within a week, she saw a difference in her mobility. And she is the biggest skeptic in the world. The biggest. And so she started saying, this is amazing, the difference for me. And then I started giving it to my husband, who's notoriously grouchy and sleepless. He has a lot of sleep disordered type of evenings where he is up and down in the night and can't get back to sleep. And it was really disruptive for him and for his well-being. And he started taking some of the CBD oil, and then I was sold. Once it was okay for him, then I couldn't believe it.
Very interesting. Now, the product Mona Lisa Healing has three products: the 750 milligram organic hemp CBD, the 1500 milligram organic hemp CBD, and the 3000 milligrams hemp CBD. CBD. Where is the hemp is grown in British Columbia? Whereabouts in British Columbia? Now, you're going to give me an opportunity to plug Dauphin, but I'm going to let you offer the answer to that. Where is the hemp grown in British Columbia?
Well, in the most sunny, most beautiful area in the province, of course, which is the Okanagan.
Okay.
And, you know, BC, like Washington State, like a lot of places, is quite famous for their beautiful, leafy cannabis.
Sure, cannabis sure. And BC bud, right?
Kind of notorious
yeah.
in a way. But, you know, I think that that gave a lot of people basically a good feeling, you know, too. And it was important to us because it is a Canadian company. And we wanted to kind of reassure everybody that everything about us is Canadian, not just the people behind it, but also the healthy plants.
I can get behind that. I can definitely get behind that. We're all Canadian. In regards to the Okanagan, is the hemp coming from one producer, or are there multiple hemp producers out there that are producing the product?
Just one
okay.
producer of the hemp.
So that adds to the quality of your product. You can go to that one field and ensure what you're getting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And we're confident about the growers, and we're confident about the way that they grow their product.
That's very cool. So just to put a plug in to Dauphin, I don't know if you know this, but Dauphin was one of the first, if not the first place in Canada to grow hemp industrially.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, it's about 20 years. Dauphin has been growing hemp. So we actually, to get the plug Reefer Madness, we have an episode on that too. Another one for you to listen to.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
So the goal of your company is to share stories and experiences. So I noticed there's lots of endorsements on the webpage. Do you want to share some of those endorsements you've had?
Oh, sure. You know, like, for example, we have one of the ladies that we know is 83, and she has a lot of anxiety. She's actually schizophrenic, and the Mona Lisa has really enabled her to kind of have a bit of a second life in a way. She has felt, lessened anxiety, and her anxiety is not like ours. You know, it's different and it's very malleable and it varies. And she just feels that the Mona Lisa has really balanced her in her life, and it doesn't interfere with her medications. Another example is, another gentleman we know who is 66 years old had terrible sciatica, just excruciating, and there was nothing that could be done. And for months he had gone from doctor to doctor, and they kept telling him that he had to have surgery to alleviate his pain, and there was nothing that they could do for him other than that. And I don't know if they were talking about his vertebrae or fenestrating a vertebrae or what they were saying, but once he started, at the urging of his wife, he started a CBD oil regimen, and literally, it's like his sciatica simply disappeared. So, I mean, stories like this, for me, really made me sit up and take notice, because I just thought it has to be something else. Like, really, like, is it really true? Can it really be true? And the more I experienced my own self with my own workouts and my joints and from yoga and from, belly training for 30 years and everything, it was just unexpected, really. It was unexpected. I'm not a skeptic, but I'm very realistic and very pragmatic person, and I just couldn't believe it.
No, that's wonderful. One of the things I noticed about your webpage is the company, Mona Lisa Healing, seems to be very in touch with their customers. It seems that's a very important part of the business.
Oh, well, we have to be. I mean, we have to be. And again, partly, like we were talking about, people just, they're curious for sure, but a lot of people just don't really understand. And again, not necessarily our generation of people, but older than us, they are really afraid of THC. You know, they're afraid of it being in the product. They, even though I'm sure they would be pleasantly fine, but they're afraid of it, and it's an issue for them. And so for them to have access to us and be able to just ask us any question and go through it with them, whether it's dosing or whether it is, you know, time of day or anything, whether it's going to interact, you know, obviously we always say that they need to consult their medical professional or please, you know, ask your doctor first. But at the same time, being able to talk to everybody has really made all the difference for people and for us.
Well, it's interesting. Going back to Dr. Shelley Turner, she calls CBD. She says, Kirk, it's vitamin CBD. Canadians should take their vitamin D and Canadians should take their vitamin CBD. So she endorses CBD hugely. And
that's fantastic.
So going back to your business, you've made contact with your customers. You've got the products out there. What is it that you hope to do with this product? Where is the business going to go? Here's an interview, Biff Naked. In 5 years from now, where will Mona Lisa Healing be?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know. You know, there's part of me that thinks that the sky is the limit. You know, I wish that Mona Lisa was in every hospital. I wish they had it at Costco so that everybody could have it. I wish that they could have it in shelters, you know, where people are the most vulnerable and who could probably benefit from it the most. Like, you know, if I could have my dreams for Mona Lisa, it would always have a charity component where a person purchasing a bottle of Mona Lisa could pay it forward and would be able to earmark funds towards a charity or towards, you know, veterinarians who can then give it to emergency patients or for hospitals or for just anything. You know, I just think that the sky is the limit with not just CBD, but with the right brands of CBD, with the right type of CBD. Again, I can't emphasize enough how the market is kind of flooded with products that may or may not actually help people. And also, there's a lot of price gouging in the market today, where it's so expensive, and people can't. But I guess we're just. We're just going to try and, you know, do what we can. We're going to be, like I said, we're going to implement some special pricing and have some discounts for veterans, maybe, or even people with disabilities.
Okay. Do you foresee getting more than just three products? I mean, for now, you have vials of oil that people use and drop under their tongue. You're advocating sublingual route. Are you looking to going into capsules later? Are you looking at introducing new products in the future?
Well, you know, all we really need are tinctures.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of different companies. They have lots, especially in beauty. They have creams. They have just everything, body lotions, you know, anti-aging. They have a lot of different products. And we always maintain that, you know, our product is pure. Add it to your lotion.
Right. You use it under the tongue.
You can add it to your lotion.
You use it under your tongue.
Yeah, you can add it to your food. You can use your smoothie.
And you use it topical as well.
Exactly. 100%.
Right. Right. My buddy.
But it's, you know, it's more bioavailable in this form, like sublingually. It's bioavailable, like eating an apple.
Yeah, I agree with you. My partner, Trevor, walked in about halfway through. I'm going to surrender the microphone. I think he has a few questions for you also.
Okay, cool.
Hi, Biff. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Biff. This is Trevor. Again, thanks so much for taking our call. We're huge fans.
I'm so happy it worked out. I'm so happy that I could.
And so you've covered most of it. So I'll call it 2.5 questions. First, I really like what you're saying about affordability for the poor and, you know, maybe down the road, even having in shelters and places like that. That's a fantastic goal. And other than having maybe some, we'll call it compassionate pricing, is there anything that your company is doing now for sort of people who can't afford CBD, or is that something you're kind of working for in the future?
No, we're definitely implementing it now. So we do discount pricing and we do special pricing. we're going to be rolling out in the next couple weeks. We're going to start earmarking specific charities where they're going to use a code that they can have a discounted price and that we donate directly to that charity.
That's fantastic. Really socially responsible of you. Good on the company.
I hope so. And again, because we're just starting, I'm still learning. You know, I'm learning how to better do that. Because, I mean, it's not just about price equity. It's more about social justice.
Oh, that's great. And another thing I read in a previous interview is the company, you and the team, are really interested in trying to stamp out the black market. How do you think Mona Lisa's doing on that, or any sort of plans down the road for how that's going to work?
Well, I don't think we can stamp out the black market, number one. I don't want to stamp out the black market, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people really don't like the pot.
Fair enough.
That the government provides. However, when it comes to CBD oil, particularly, and I think that there, it's not that it's the black market per se that I have a problem with. It's the lousy products
okay. And
the price gouging. So, hey, I'm all for the black market, but if someone's going to be a dick, then I have a problem with it. And what I mean by that is if someone is going to charge vulnerable people a lot of money for a shit product, then, yeah, I want to shut them down.
So how do you really feel?
Thanks, in a nice way. In a very nice way. My last question is just about the name Mona Lisa. How did you and the team come up with that? Is it the painting? And is it Leonardo?
Everything. Mona Lisa, the name Mona Lisa makes everybody smile. It really does. Because we can all visualize that little smirk. And it just kind of kept coming up for us. My partners are massive art collectors and art fans, and they love, they love the Renaissance. And it just really made a lot of sense. I mean, of course, we thought about a million different names over the past year that we've been talking about it. You know, it's not overnight. And of course, you know, why is it healing? Why isn't it some other word? You know, what is it all about? And basically, what does it mean to us is essentially what the debate was over. And in one way, we threw names in a hat. And in another way, it was very calculated. So we're art fans, and we're fans of that contented feeling and the feeling of contentment. And that's really what Mona Lisa represented to us. So the name just seemed like a natural fit.
Thanks a lot, Biff. I'm handing the mic back to Kirk for just a wrap up.
Hi.
Okay.
So I guess, Biff, again, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. Final words.
Well, yes, I forgot to mention that we're going to be also implementing subscriptions due to the high demand. So that'll have a component, which is an auto ship, and it's for, repeat customers, because we're starting to accumulate so many repeat customers that it's going to make sense for us to let them subscribe, and then they can auto ship, which is really exciting for us. I hope that we can, I would love Mona Lisa to grow so that we can, just sponsor different things and sponsor events and really just try and make a difference in the world, not just as a brand, but like you had mentioned, as a community.
Right.
You know, the cannabis community is, like you said, very kind and generous people. And even though I personally, take my, CBD oil, but it doesn't mean that I'm not also still in the cannabis community. You cannot have hemp without having cannabis, and you cannot have, you can't be involved in CBD without, also being involved in cannabis. So that's something, that I'm very, proud of, and then I want to also contribute in my way and bring some honesty, awareness, and integrity
Fantastic.
What I'm doing.
Fantastic. One of the things that I haven't yet discussed with my team yet, but I think it's a no-brainer, is that we'd like to become part of the referral program. So we'll be touching base with you, with your people, about that.
How cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We'll have
guys.
We'll have a link on our webpage that can go to your business.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I can't tell
you're
you how.
You're most welcome. Thank you for including me. I really appreciate it. I'm sure that you guys will get lots of different guests, I'm sure. I mean, you guys are great. You're great. You're articulate. You're funny. You're generous. And the questions you ask are really, really great. They're personable and they're smart.
The smiles in this room right now are adding to the city of sunshine. So it's we're very happy.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Nice one.
Okay. Bye.
We interviewed a rock star. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And Kirk, why should people stay to the very, very end today?
It's February 14th.
And we have a really special gift, February 14th, Valentine's Day gift for our audience, and it is?
She's dropping her new single today, and our producer asked her if we could, if we drop this My Cannabis Story on February 14th, would we be able to also drop her new single? And she was very gracious and said,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's another reason to stay at the very, very end.
Yeah, but we got to do some talking here about CBD.
We'll talk about CBD. Okay, yeah. Kirk, quick science recap. What's CBD?
Okay, yeah, exactly. So, of course, you go back into our catalog and you'll see we discussed this, but very briefly, the endocannabinoid system was discovered in the early 90s when they were trying to trace THC, and they found that THC bound to CB1 receptors in this new system, the endocannabinoid system, right? We have it inside our body. And then you also have, they discovered CB2 receptors a few years later, and they discovered, my goodness, there's another cannabinoid called
cannabidiol.
Cannabidiol.
And it's the reason it seems to be all over the news right now, past year or so, is it's not so psychoactive, so you do not get high from CBD. And it seems to be anti-inflammatory, and thus it seems to be involved in lots of stuff, especially stuff where your immune system is behaving badly.
Yes, and I outed Dr. Shelley Turner. I mean, she legitimately believes CBD should be in our diets. She is such a proponent, and obviously Biff Naked is also a very excited proponent of CBDs, and they're taking it daily, and they're doing it under their tongue. Do you want to briefly just discuss about sublingually versus ingestion of CBDs?
Sure. So we'll go geeky pharmacist for a bit. So we got different ways of getting stuff into people. So we have medications just in a regular pharmacy world that we put under the tongue, and the idea of putting something under the tongue or sublingually is we hope it gets dissolved there and goes straight into your bloodstream and avoids the liver. Orally goes through your stomach, and then the first place it goes is through the liver. Not that's bad, that's just what happens. So the thought is, if you put CBDs under the tongue or any cannabis liquid extract under the tongue, that it's all going to be absorbed there, avoiding the stomach. The problem is, from the reading I've done, and some PhD wants to correct me, I'm more than willing to listen. Some of the studies I've read said, we're not sure. Probably some of the stuff we put under the tongue gets absorbed straight into the bloodstream, avoids the liver. Probably some of it goes through your stomach and goes into the liver. Then there is the excitement of, so all the cannabinoids are fat soluble, the great big fatty molecules, which is great for absorbing through like a mucous membrane. But in your tongue, you've got all that saliva, all that water that kind of stops it. So how do you get it from the watery mouth to the stuff under the tongue? Well, you could make it into a really, really small globule, and that's sort of the micro nano emulsions you'll read about, basically making them into tiny, tiny little droplets so they can go through the water and then get absorbed. Or you can dissolve them in something like alcohol. So a tincture in pharmacy world means dissolved in alcohol. And alcohol is a interesting thing that it will play nicely with water and play nicely with fat. So if you put something in a tincture, there is at least a good chance it'll go from the watery mouth through under the tongue and straight into the bloodstream. But again, it seems to be a little bit open to debate about how much actually go, when you put something under your tongue, how much gets absorbed there and how much just goes through your stomach. And I think that's something they've still got to figure out.
Mm-hmm. What I like about Mona Lisa Healing is that if you go to their webpage, they're all about endorsements. And obviously they have, they've had huge successes. What I know about the company, because I have to do some self-disclosure here, I was very uncomfortable at one point as a nurse and as a pharmacist, we're out here promoting CBDs. And it's not that we're promoting CBDs. What we're doing is telling a story. Mona Lisa Healing is a story. Biff Naked has had some very positive results, and there's a whole lot of endorsements of Mona Lisa Healing on their webpage of other people who've had some positive results from CBD ingestion. Now, that would be called an evidence influence type practice. When a patient comes to me and says that they're getting some benefit from something, I have to take that into an account and then apply best practices to it, right? So when I look at Mona Lisa Healing as a company, I'm really impressed, Trevor, about how they have they've put up on the web their actual lab results, their claims about their products. They have demonstrated that they have 99% CBD in their oils, and they've done this because as a company, as individuals who own this company, they've all been using CBDs and have been, well, what did she call them?
She said, don't be a dick and don't sell bad stuff to vulnerable people.
Exactly. So what they've done is, as a group of people, as a group of kind people, they have built this company around authenticity about and what they're saying is best quality, and they're saying triple lab tested, and they are GMP, which is good marketing practices. So they've done this, they've built this company that you can, when you buy their products, they are claiming and guaranteeing that they are giving you CBD products.
But
there's a but. And this is where, as a nurse, I was very uncomfortable with this at one point. And so I made a phone call. I phoned Mona Lisa Healing and said, hey guys, how are you selling CBD on the web when it's potentially against the law?
And?
So I talked to Charles. He is the spokesperson. And he's actually at the conference today where they're releasing this product at the wellness conference in Vancouver. He was really upfront with it, Trevor, and it makes me more comfortable with as a nurse telling the story, because what they're basically saying is that, you know, the government, and you've said you've heard this also.
Yeah. So what Kirk's getting to eventually is Health Canada is taught right today, February 14th, 2020. It is illegal to sell CBD products outside a licensed producer. But Health Canada is looking at maybe making CBD like a vitamin or natural health product, which would then take it out of the licensed producer realm. And, you know, basically once you get it, make it easier to sell. And that's kind of what Charles was telling you.
Yes. Essentially how he said this is that they are ahead of the curve. And they recognize it. They recognize the fact that they are selling CBDs ahead of the curve. So that's what they're doing. So as a nurse, I feel comfortable saying, check into Mona Lisa Healing, check out their products, look at their claims, make your own decisions. But what should they do? They need to go to their health practitioner.
Yeah. Please. We said it many times and we'll say it again. Just keep your healthcare practitioners in the loop with what you're doing. It's so much better. Better if everybody is on the same page. Don't, you know, say, yes, doctor, yes, nurse practitioner, I'm taking this, but when I'm actually taking that, you can, guys can even disagree about what you're taking, but just keep everybody in the loop about what's going on.
And if you are an active listener of Reefer Madness, the podcast, you will know that we are often saying that the difference between cannabis medicine is that oftentimes, if not all the time, that the patient is in control. Right? You are in control of your dosing. You are in control of how and what strains work for you over a period of time. So it's your responsibility to educate yourself when you're using cannabis as medicine. And we recommend you go to a health practitioner to get good medical information that relates to you. right? On Mona Lisa Healing, they do have disclaimers. They do encourage you to talk to your medical practitioner. And although there's lots of endorsements on this page about how CBD helps you, read carefully, because these are endorsements of how people have felt with using it. The studies are happening. We are studying cannabis in Canada. I actually stumbled onto a webpage the other day in my research. There's like 140 research projects going right now in Canada on cannabis alone.
Nice.
Yeah. So that stuff's happening. So today, Trevor, is all CBD day for us.
It is. This is number two. If you've been listening to this in order, last week you heard us talk to Hemp Sense.
Yes.
And this week we've got a Valentine's Day with Biff Naked. So yeah, it's all CBD all day, all the time.
This is Reefer Madness, the podcast. You know, we need your help. We need your help for endorsements. We need your help to tell us how good we are.
We need a couple more Mad Cannabis stories like Biff.
We need more Mad Cannabis stories.
Under 45 minutes.
Well, what if it's interesting?
Well, you know, okay. We'll make exceptions.
but we also need you to go on your podcast provider and do us a review. Like Biff Naked's review of us. That was wonderful. At the end there?
Yeah. Biff says nice things.
That's
becoming my new ringtone.
Yeah, I think so. So if you like what we're doing and you're listening to us on iTunes, put in a brief that people should be listening to us. And if you are a company that has a web-based presence, our podcast is heard all over the world, all through North America, in every state, in every province, on every continent. We would love to support a business that supports Reefer Madness, the podcast. So we're looking for people to help us out.
All our contact information is on our website, reefermed.ca. Kirk, should we get into some special music from Biff Naked?
Yeah, Trevor. Thanks again, Biff. We do want to see you at the Watson Arts Center. We'll host you a live show. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Biff Naked, and this is my brand new single called Jim, right here on Reefer Madness Podcast.
You never loved me, Jim. You made a fool of me again and again. You never told the truth when I believed in you again and again. I tried to take control, unworthy of my love and money. Criticize and tell me how I feel. Tell me I don't measure up. Telling me I overreach. I'm begging you to leave. I'm begging you to leave.
You made a fool of me again.
I mean, of course, you know, the bottom line is that the people just, you know, that they like it and that they feel good.
It, you know, it's interesting. Trevor and I, again, we started this project with Renee about 2.5 years ago. And in our research, in our contact, I mean, as you know, Dauphin is in the middle of the continent, but yet,
yes, it is.
But yet, we are so far away from the action. But the connections that we're able to make, we've really discovered the cannabis industry, the people within it. You know, I can't say but hashtag kind people.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's so different than when people were so afraid. You know, the legalization of cannabis and the reefer madness that's going to happen across the nation. When in actual fact, the true cannabis culture, they're just kind people.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.